Alrighty. Good timing. Good timing. Excellent, excellent. Hi. Can you hear me if I talk like this, if the mic is just down here? Good, because that's so much more natural, because then I can like move around and stuff. I'm Patrick Jackson. I'm the Director of General Education, and I'm also a faculty member in the School of International Service, and some other stuff that doesn't really concern us this morning. This is Tiffany Sanchez, who is the Director of New Student Programs in the Office of Campus Life, and we are here today to talk about the Learning Communities Project here at American University. You will notice, you've probably already received in the mail your pamphlets, yes, in envelopes that were this color. Yes, we had to fight with the marketing people about that, but we love orange, so we decided to do that. You will notice that the presentation looks somewhat similar to the pamphlet because of this marvelous technology called cut and paste, where we're able to take the same graphics and put them up here on the board. So it works very nicely. I'm actually going to move this over here for a second so that you can actually see. Is that all right? Good. Okay. So the physical headquarters, because we do still have physical headquarters for these things, for the Learning Communities Project, is over in the office of the provost. Which is, for people who aren't familiar with academic nomenclature, the provost is the sort of highest academic affairs office on campus, so it sort of shows you the importance of the program to the university's general scheme. We do this in conjunction, collaboration, and partnership with our friends over in the Office of Campus Life. As you'll see, this is very much a collaborative practice all the way through, where we're trying to integrate your in-class experience and your out-of-class experience in a whole variety of interesting ways. So, let me start off here by talking a little bit about what it is that we mean here at American by a learning community. Well, the general definition here is that a learning community is any kind of curricular experience that takes place outside the framework of a single class. So it's centered on a class, an actual class that you're taking for credit. These are not extended orientation seminars. These are sort of real classes that fulfill general education requirements. They often fulfill major requirements. These are substantive courses taught by members of the faculty. They do, however, go outside of just that one class, and in many ways what a learning community features is a thematic focus, which will either extend across multiple classes or extend to a class in a series of integration activities in downtown Washington, D.C., a variety of other kinds of activities. So you start with a class, but it doesn't stop with the class. The class is just the beginning point. As I said, we use D.C. as a laboratory.
Right. And actually, that's what happens, one of the most exciting things, I think, that happens with these courses. 91% of our incoming freshmen say that one of the most important things to them about coming to AU is the ability to be here in Washington, D.C. And so we take that really seriously, and with the courses, we encourage faculty members and our peer mentors to take students out into the city, not just for fun social events, but for ways to examine what they're learning in the classroom and see it put into practice right in Washington, D.C. So it's a really nice connection to the learning that goes on in the classroom. And one other thing that students say is that because everyone in these learning communities, they're smaller groups, because they know each other so well, there's a lot more opportunity for discussion. And so the students find that they really do learn together. One quote that came from a class a couple of years ago, they said that it's like 18 of us teaching 18 of us. So it really is collaborative learning right in the learning communities.
Now there's a number of different models that we have, a bunch of different kinds of communities that are designed according to different principles. I'm going to talk briefly about the design principles. I'm not going to go into inordinate detail about each individual community. If you want that, we're happy to answer questions about that. We've also got pamphlets, and there are faculty members who are actually floating around. I don't see any of them here right now, but they're floating around on campus. There's people you can talk to about some more of those specifics. The reason we have all these different models is because, not because we think one is better than another, but because different kinds of experiences are going to appeal to different kinds of people. Some of our learning communities are residentially intensive, where you sort of live with the members of your community. Others are non-residential but feature multiple classes. There's a variety of different things. When you think about these communities, you should think about which one kind of suits you, your experiences, and what it is that you're looking for in your first semester here at the university. That's the kind of decision. There's no rank order between these things. These are a diversity of things for a diversity of applicants. So we have, as I said, these linked course models. And linked courses involve, at this point, we only have communities that have two, there's some on the drawing board that have more than that, but the idea is you and the members of your community, 20, 25 people, would be enrolled in two courses at the same time, during the same semester. They're not scheduled at the same time, though we try to schedule them like back to back so that you're sort of having this experience of being with the same group of people for a while during the course of the day. And the classes are paired up with each other to so allowing you to focus on a single theme from a couple of different disciplinary and departmental perspectives. So you can kind of go across and between the different classes. We also have the Green Community. And the Green Community is a residential community focused on environmental studies and environmental awareness. Not necessarily just for environmental studies majors, but for anyone with an interest in the environment. All members of that community will live together on the same floor and be taking a one-credit environmental studies seminar as a class that they're all sort of enrolled in. So that's sort of how the Green Community is set up. We then have a community called Explorations. And Explorations is a residential community specifically designed for people who, let's see if I can phrase this properly. People who are taking the undergraduate experience seriously enough that they don't actually want to commit to a major right off the bat. AKA undecided students. But that's it sounds kind of negative, right? Now, in many ways, as a faculty member, I really enjoy having students who haven't decided yet. Because once you've decided what you want to major in, everything else you do curricular-wise kind of gets filtered through that. A student who hasn't decided yet, who hasn't committed to something yet, has the sort of the most open mind. And so we said, hey, what would happen if we take a group of those people, put them together with a live-in program associate who was herself an undecided student for many years while at the university, put them together in a group and let them explore the university together. And incidentally, have the class be taught by people like the Dean of Academic Affairs and the Provost with guest appearances by the President of the University. So there's a variety of things that go into this particular community. And the final one, sort of the big elephant in the middle of the room, because it is the largest of all the communities and the oldest, and I say oldest in the American sense of old. It's 4 years old. You know, if this were Europe and you say old, you know, forget it, man, 4,000. But here, no, we're talking about something that's been here for about 4 years, going into our fourth year now. The University College, a set of freshman residential seminars, which have a set of common events that go on between them. So you're taking individual first level general education courses, living with members of your seminar, but then in addition to that, you are engaged in a number of common events, some special speakers, trips downtown, etc. Right? So it's sort of a circle of circles as we describe it in the brochure. So, a little more about some of these models. The idea, as I said, of the linked courses is you're going to draw all of these kinds of connections between subjects. We have three different thematic foci. That is the proper plural of focus, for the linked course learning communities this fall. One of them is what we call crime in the media, which is specifically designed for people who flip around channels and sometimes notice that Court TV and Law and Order look pretty similar to each other, and they've started to inform one another in interesting ways. And sometimes it's real difficult to tell where the drama ends and the actual legal process begins, and vice versa. I was talking to actually the people who are going to run this community yesterday. There is some discussion that there may be some viewing of Sopranos episodes as part of this. So, you know, this is the sort of thing we're going to explore, that interesting sort of interpenetration of media coverage and the processes of justice. Another theme we have is global media and global politics, which is a community that's going to be exploring both the fact that the media seems to increasingly act like a political actor in a lot of places, United States among others, but the media is increasingly becoming a political force. And if you've noticed, perhaps politics has started to become much more like a media event, and even much, much more now with the sort of, the nine-inning bout here going on in the Democratic Party, right? They sort of use these sports metaphors. And you notice political coverage starts to look an awful lot like Baseball Tonight, right? I mean, there's this interesting backing and forthing that goes on here. And so we said, hey, this is an area that we really would like to explore a little bit. So we got one person who's an expert professor in global media, one who's an expert professor in global politics. You'll be taking both of those classes simultaneously. And the third community is the history and practice of science. You can probably, since you figured out the formula by now, you can probably guess what the two courses would be associated with this. There's a history of science class, and there's a practice of science class, which in this case is going to be a laboratory biology course. Some of the lab assignments for that course have been modified so that you will actually be replicating some of the historically significant experiments that you are studying in the science class. So there will be a great opportunity to explore both what's going on in sort of science as a historical practice, but also the current practice of the way science is actually put together. So that's kind of the themes that we've got in mind for these various linked courses. As I said, these are two individual courses taught by two faculty members. So each community features two members of the faculty that you'll get to know reasonably well. But that's not all.
That's right. We wanted to make sure that students had opportunities to talk about these connections with an upper-class student. And so we have a Wednesday afternoon community hour that will be led by, you want to click me to the next one, the community associate. And that person is really a fellow learner. In a lot of what we do want to make sure that each community associate has actually taken at least one of the courses so that they're familiar in at least one of the areas. But really, the leadership role here comes in that the community associate is a model student. So it's someone who's got a really great GPA, someone who's really figured out how to do this thing called college, and who's been really successful at it, and wants to help new students become successful as well. So we wanted to make sure that they had an opportunity to talk with students about how these connections are being made. That person will be able to help when you have questions about an assignment, or about a paper, or about why we're discussing these things. We'll also be able to use that Wednesday afternoon community time for activities to bring in a speaker that has something to do with both courses, or in some cases, if we can swing it, it's a short amount of time, but maybe even going down to DC to visit someone who has something to say about the linked courses.
And of course, we don't just turn these community associates loose. There's a very elaborate selection process,
absolutely,
which Tiffany is in charge of. And then they get trained, right, and they get support. Right, resources, and we do pay them. So they do have job responsibilities, and their job responsibility is helping to enrich your learning experience. Isn't that nice?
Right.
Upper class student who knows the ropes, who's going to be specifically devoted to helping you get the most out of your first semester. The Green Community, which I've mentioned already, is a community that's sort of environmental awareness themed. We wanted to put everybody together on a floor because we also want, one of the things we want this community to do is to start exploring notions of sustainability. And we figure what better way to do that than put everybody together and have them start reflecting on their own sustainability practices or lack thereof. And one of the things we want this community to do at the very beginning is to start making a sustainability report card for its floor and its building. We expect the building to fail miserably. The reason we expect the building to fail miserably is because, quite frankly, like most other buildings in the United States, it was constructed before a lot of environmental awareness. The university is very, very interested in becoming a much more environmentally sound and aware place. It was just announced yesterday that the president of the university has just signed a global sustainability agreement, which has committed the university to becoming a much greener and more sustainable place. This community is going to play a role in actually helping us do that by identifying the kinds of things that need to be addressed. Right? So that's the first thing you're going to be doing. And you're not going to be doing it all by yourself. You've got a one-credit gateway class, which is taught by an esteemed environmental biologist on faculty here, who is very, very interested in using that and using the environmental science techniques to really start investigating what's going on and really helping to make positive contributions to the way that the campus is actually organized. Did you want to talk about the RA?
Sure, yeah. In addition, our housing and dining program staff has been working through their residence assistant selection process, which is very rigorous anyway, but to choose an RA specifically for this community. So this person has a background in environmental issues, is interested in these kinds of issues, and can be there to help support the program and the students through that process. So it's a specially selected resident assistant who will also have additional training related to community development and what it means to be part of these small learning communities.
And the nice thing about everybody living together in this community is, of course, if they're going to do events and get-togethers, you can do them when students are actually awake. 10 p.m., 11 p.m., 2 a.m. Some of the other communities, you know, we can't quite do that. So, Explorations, I mentioned before, is our community targeted at students who don't want to make an early commitment to a particular field of study, maybe have multiple fields of study that they're interested in, maybe have a variety of things that they think they might be interested in, but they're not quite sure yet. That's great, you know, bring them in. We're going to put everybody together on a residence hall floor. There will be a course that's attached to this, which is this interdisciplinary course specifically targeted and designed for students who are exploring things. And as I said, the main instructors for that are going to be the highest academic officers in the university who are going to be putting together a curriculum of exercises which will allow people to really look at what different kinds of majors and departments are doing. And not just go and get the public relations briefing from the marketing person, but, all right, if you were in fact a journalism major, what would that be like? Let's do a journalism assignment in see. If you were actually going to be, say, a history major, what does a history major do? Well, let's actually sort of figure that out. Let's actually go into some archives and see what we can get. So that's the way that course is actually going to be set up. As I said, it is an all-star cast. You do get FaceTime with the university president, which is a nice thing.
And then, again, you can see that we find a lot of value in working with our peer mentors. So we've also assigned a community associate to this program. And I'll just say a couple of words about Katie. Katie's done an amazing job here at AU. She's, if there's anyone who epitomizes the concept behind this course, it's Katie. She has recreated her major any number of times and has finally settled on what she's going to do. She actually is going to be a master's student in the fall, so she'll be a fifth-year AU student completing her master's degree in the spring. So she's an amazing role model and will do an amazing job with this program. She'll live on the floor with the students and also manage the Wednesday community time just like with the linked courses. So again, you'll have a small amount of time Wednesday afternoon, and Katie as the program or the community associate for that group will lead activities for that community time.
And Katie is also actually going to be the commencement speaker at the graduation
right.
for the College of Arts and Sciences
right.
this year. So this is a highly respected member of the AU student community. We're very fortunate to have her around for another year.
Absolutely.
So. And then, as I said, the big kahuna, we have the University College. And the University College isn't quite a college in the traditional sense. It doesn't have its own building. There's no ivy on the walls. But it is a small subset of the university. This is a one-year program. All of the other communities we've been talking about are really only first semester programs. University College is a full-year program, even though it's less intense when you get to the spring semester. These are residential first-year seminars. So, as I said, you would live on the residence hall floor with the other people in your seminar. All of the seminars in University College are foundation-level general education courses, so you would fulfill a requirement, a university requirement, by being in one of these to begin with. And in many cases, it also fulfills a major requirement, because a lot of courses actually count for both of those at the university.
Again, we have a program associate for each and every residential neighborhood, and the PA actually attends class with the students and then lives in the residence hall floor with the students as well. And I can't tell you how many times we hear from actually current PAs who were University College students themselves in past years who have said, the reason I'm doing this is because I had such an amazing program associate and I want to do the same thing for other new students. So they really do get involved with the students' lives. They provide information about resources and provide assistance related to the class and are just an amazing resource. And we choose really high quality students for these programs. So an excellent PA. And then on top of that, University College students will also participate in either the Freshman Service Experience or the Discover DC program. And the way we work that is the faculty member works with my office and with the Community Service Center to determine what's the best a set of activities for their course. So, for example, our biology course taught by Professor Chris Tudge has done the Freshman Service Experience each year for the past 2 years, and we'll do that again this year. So the faculty member chooses the activity, and then the students participate in that activity as a group. So last year, Professor Tudge's class went to the Breast Cancer Society, and they did some volunteering with stuffing envelopes and sending out mailings and updating databases and that kind of thing. But I'll let you talk. Yours is a great example, Professor Jackson's example.
Yeah, my seminar, I teach a world politics class, and one of the things we talk about in world politics is we talk about globalization. And what better way to really get a handle on globalization than by going downtown and hanging out at the new Nationals ballpark? Why, you ask? Well, the reason you ask, and it has absolutely nothing to do with the fact that I'm a baseball nut, is that this is a great example. Globalization is the interpenetration of the global and the local. The construction of a stadium in an economically depressed area of an economically strapped city at the behest of a multi-billion dollar transnational corporation, which didn't pay for the stadium, but in fact demanded that the city raise money to pay for the stadium. Displaced residents had programs set up to move people around, has a whole bunch of economic development initiatives that are forming around the stadium. The future of those is still sort of unclear. Very controversial kind of issue. What exactly is going on there? Well, that's the interpenetration of a set of global concerns and a set of local concerns coming together in a very, very concrete way. So what we do during Discover DC is we go to the old National Stadium, the RFK Park, which is not the greatest stadium. And then after getting that side of it, we talked to community activists, we talked to city planners. Last year we got to talk to the mayor, got an audience, go in, got to ask him some questions. It's very interesting because Mayor Fenty was an opponent of the stadium when he was a councilman. And now he's the mayor, and now he has to oversee the project and make it work. Puts him in an interesting place. And so we were able to ask him questions about this. So what's that like for you? You know, it was a really interesting experience. But being able to then do that and then go to the new Nationals Park and be able to see the new stadium, get both sides of the issue about economic development and local community development and how that's going to work. We do that during Discover DC. By the time we get to the first day of class, we've already got lots of material to discuss. Right, I've got a couple short readings I give people at the beginning. We go in, first day of class, we talk about that. We've got this storehouse of experience. That becomes our launching pad for the discussions the rest of the semester. We can never talk about globalization and local politics in abstract terms because we have something very, very concrete to hang it on. And then we get to go to at least two more Nationals games during the course of the year. So it works out very well for all concerned, right? And this is this sort of nicely segues over into this other thing. It's a feature of University College, which is this Wednesday Washington Lab time. We have with University College a little more time than with some of the link courses. Link courses get an hour, hour and a half or so in terms of putting in people's schedules. We figure you're already taking two classes. We don't want to take more of your time. University College, there's only one course. We can take more of your Wednesday. So what we do is you get a block of time on Wednesday, about 4 hours, where nothing else is scheduled. And that gives flexibility for the program associate and the professor to design a variety of enrichment activities. People go on going down State Department briefings. I know Chris's Chudge's class goes to the National Institutes of Health, gets an update on sort of what's actually going on with infectious diseases. They actually went to the Bodies exhibition last year because that was around. And we said, hey, this is a, you know, how often do you really get to see anatomy, like real anatomy? There you go. They're right in front of you. And then had a really interesting debate about the ethics of commercializing dead bodies. So again, fascinating sets of, which you couldn't do if you didn't have those sets of experiences. That's what we use that Wednesday time for. And in addition to the sort of individual class activities, we also have a series of common events that go on throughout the year. One of the things we do in University College is the 12 of us sit down and we compare our syllabi pretty intensely and say, hey, you know, you're doing something similar to me on this week or close to it. Let's move our syllabi around a little bit so we can like maybe have our classes get together and talk about how, you know, the music majors might understand, or the music class might understand this, and here's how the political science class might understand the same kind of issue about arts funding. Right? It's very interesting sets of topics, and we can play with those sort of things. We also have at least one overall University College event. I can't quite tell you what it is yet because we don't quite have the contract signed, but it's going to be really, really cool. So someone's going to come in and talk to us for a while, and we get to read this person's book, and it's going to be a neat thing. But I can't actually say anything until we actually ink the contract. But it'll be fun, trust me. So that's University College. Now, after we've talked a little bit about the details and all these things, just pull the focus back for just a second. Why would you do this? Why would you do any of this stuff? What would be the benefits to you as a student, benefits to you as parents of encouraging your student to do these things? Well, one of the main benefits is that we make the university smaller. Now, this is not actually a very big university, not compared to, I did my undergrad at a place where there were 50,000 undergraduates. When I think big, that's what I think of, big. But American University is 5,000 people, so it's more bigger than pretty much any of your high schools, right? Anybody go to a high school that's bigger than 5,000 people? There are a couple of them in the country, not many. So it's bigger than that, but the other thing about it is it's more dispersed. You have a variety of different activities going on, you're in DC. It's very easy for the place to feel extremely large because there's so many disparate things going on. All of the learning communities help make the university a little bit smaller. You have a group of people that you'll be interacting with, you have at least one, if not more, faculty members that you'll be having relatively close interactions with. Helps to shrink the size of the university a little bit.
The other thing is, and this is really the part of my job that takes up the most of my time, which is helping new students ease into the transition of college. And my main responsibility is to plan our orientation programs for that. But I think that one of the really big benefits about the University College is that it does provide students with a little bit easier transition into college. And I think the biggest part of that comes from having, I do believe, the small classroom environment where they get to know a faculty member pretty well, and then also having this program associate who can kind of guide them through that process and help make them have connections to outside of class activities, clubs and organizations, those kinds of things. And I think the other piece of it is actually the next bullet, which is a very, very important part of the first year experience at any institution. But I think predominantly here at AU, we do have a really excellent opportunity with these learning communities to create this instant connection. I'll let Patrick talk a little more about that.
I mean, one of the nice things about it, people sometimes will say, well, I go to college and I don't know anybody. Well, with the way we've designed learning communities, you sort of can't say that, because you will get to know a number of people fairly quickly. Not that these will always necessarily become your best friends for life, though it does happen. We've got a few. If you go on the learning communities website, you'll see we've got a couple of folks, three young women actually, who were in a university college seminar. Okay, it was mine, but they were in a university college seminar, and they decided that they got along so well that they went and they got a room together the next year, and then next year that they're going to be juniors, they're moving off campus, and they're going to go together. So it's still them as a group. We also find anecdotal evidence of university college students collectively registering with other people from their seminar for classes in future semesters. So we find people trying to replicate the university college experience sort of on their own by doing this.
I was just going to say that actually those numbers bear out not just in one class, but almost in every single class. The average number of students who don't move from one semester to the next is about 70%. For university college students, it's in the 90s. So students either stay in their same community or they move together as a group to their next place. Mm-hmm. And that's a really, really outstanding number compared to the all first year student average.
And again, the idea here is that you become comfortable with the people in your community. You may not always necessarily be best friends with all of them, but you become comfortable with them. And that's an incredibly important asset to have when you're suddenly thrown out into a college environment where you're, you know, probably for the first time in your lives living on your own. Having people who, even if you don't necessarily agree with everything they say, you're familiar with them. That's a nice home to come back to. So this is why we sort of think about all the learning communities as being a kind of stable home from which to explore the university, to explore the city, and ultimately to explore sort of broader things in higher education, which is, of course, why you're coming. The overall sort of thing within this, the overall paradigm here within which all of this is seated is, again, back to this question of what it means to be in a learning community rather than just being in sort of an ordinary class. The idea of a community of learning is that you won't get much of what I'm doing to you right now, which is what we call the sage on the stage model. Well, it's the sages on the stage. But basically what we do here, this is the stage, and we're sages, and we stand here and we sort of beam knowledge into your skulls. Right? You know, using our magic vision or whatever. And you're supposed to sit there, and this is the stage on the stage model, you sit there and go, knowledge comes in. And the knowledge comes into your head, and then you sort of think about it, and then an exam comes, and you go, and you spit it all back out. And then, of course, it leaves your head and never sticks, right? It's gone 20 minutes after the final. How many people have had high school classes like that, right? I mean, this is the model, right? It's like, oh, there's a test, and once a test's done, I always remember that when they would do the strange things in high school, scheduling the test before the end of the year, but once the test is done, the teacher is just like, I don't have any idea what I'm going to do with you for the next 2 weeks, so whatever, you know, because you checked the box off. That's not what we do. It's not what we do at university generally. It's what we don't do even more intensely within a community of learning. We don't do this kind of sage on the stage beaming of knowledge at you. Instead, this is a community in which everybody learns together. The professor, in many ways, in a learning community, is less the font of eternal wisdom and much more a fellow learner, the master learner, the co-learner. So they're experiencing things with you, and they simply have been thinking about it for longer than you have. Possibly for longer than you've been alive. But they've been thinking about it for longer. That's the main difference between you and them, right? And so there is this way in which their job is to help facilitate these learning experiences that are going on rather than simply being the font of information that everybody kind of drinks from. The learning community environment provides a collaborative experience, a collaborative environment for sort of processing all of these experiences. So we go out into the city, we do something, we come back, we sit down for half an hour, we talk it through. What just happened? After we went to the audience with Mayor Fenty, actually, in my class last fall, we spent a good 45 minutes when we got back on campus saying, what do we make of those answers that he gave? How do we read that? Were we impressed by that? Were we not impressed by that? What wasn't he considering? What should he have been doing differently? And so on and so forth. So we got a chance to really, so it's not just field trip, right? It's an experience which we then draw pedagogical lessons out of and relate them back to the course. And that's kind of deliberately the way we do this with learning communities. I like to think of these things as spaces of encounter, right? A learning community, any college class should be, but a learning community even more intensely is a space of encounter. It's a place for you to encounter material that you may not have encountered before, people that you almost certainly have never encountered before, and probably the most bizarre stranger you're going to encounter in the course of one of these things, which is you. You're going to discover things about yourself that you didn't quite know or you couldn't quite articulate, and you're going to have a community of people that's going to be helping you figure that out and helping you articulate those things and make decisions on that basis what you're going to do for the rest of your lives, hopefully. So, big question, how do I get in? Everybody wants to know this now. So, guess what? I'm going to tell you. Here's your cheat sheet. Step one, give us money. No, step one, because of various kinds of confidentiality restrictions and such, the application for Learning Communities participation is on the portal, the My.American portal. In order to get access to the My.American portal, you have to have an AUID. In order to do that, you need to pay your AU deposit. So that's the first step. Once you do that and you go to the My.American portal, very easy, self-explanatory from there. There's where the application link is. And you then go and fill out the very brief online application. The very brief online application, which consists of your name. Now I think that's already sort of auto-entered for you. You have three drop-down menus. The drop-down menus are three different learning communities that you choose. You select what you would like to do. Choice number one, choice number two, choice number three. I then try to respect that preference ordering when I am putting people in learning communities. Doesn't always happen. So we give you a little box which says, if none of those is available, I'd be happy with something else. And if you check that box, then that's when I look at it and go, oh, I couldn't get you into these things, but there's this other one. Hey, I can offer you a place in something else. Right? So we have those sort of things. It's very, very simple to fill out those various boxes. And then what do you do after you fill out the boxes and you click submit? Let's see. Then you cross your fingers. No, that's not right. The way this works is this is not an honors program. This is not a program based on aptitude. I'm not looking very intently at your high school GPA or SAT scores. That's not what I'm interested in. This is a program which is based not on aptitude, it's based on intent. And it's based on inclination. What I am looking for when I am selecting people to be in these particular communities is I want people who have a clear understanding of what it is that they'd like to get out of this experience and a clear understanding of what they think they can bring to this experience. There's a 500-word essay block on the application. That is the most important part of the application. Write me a couple of paragraphs. Tell me why you would be a good fit for these communities. Tell me how you would benefit. Tell me what you think you would bring that would help benefit others. That's what I look for. What I do, when I get the big pool of all the applications, I take the applications, I don't actually stack them anywhere because they're all virtual, so I put them in my database. And then what I do is I look through them and I make a first cut. Everybody who sort of has demonstrated inclination and people who don't. And then people with demonstrated inclination, I then look as hard as I can to try to find spaces for all of them. We have occasionally done things like create on the fly additional sections of things. We've modified course limits. We've done a bunch of stuff. Once we get past that sort of first cut, I try as hard as I can to find a space for you. So that's the kind of thing that I am trying to do when I'm actually making these admissions decisions. Learning communities are open to any first-year student, with the exception of students who've already been admitted to the Honors Program. The reason for that is because the Honors Program has their own residential and learning community type experiences that they call Honors 101, and there simply aren't enough hours in the day to schedule everything. Their Honors 101 events actually take place on Wednesdays too. So we figure it would be a little difficult because we don't have the cloning technology quite perfected yet. So you can't actually be in two places at once. So logistically, the two are kind of incompatible, unfortunately. But we open it up to everyone, we look for inclination, and that is what I am interested in when I make these admissions decisions. And I keep using the first person pronoun deliberately. I'm the one who makes the admissions decisions. Everything comes to me, big database sits on my computer, and then we sort of play around with it and see what we can find. As I've mentioned a couple times, we have a website. You probably know this. If you don't, then something's wrong with your spam filtering on your email, because we have sent out emails and brochures and other things. So we want to make sure this is publicized. A very easy URL to remember, american.edu/learningcommunities, no underscore, and that brings you to a website that will look suspiciously like this presentation and like the pamphlet for exactly the same reason, you know, cutting and pasting. It's a great thing. The physical location where we actually work from in order to do this is over in the General Education Program, which is located over in Leonard Hall, which is over on the other side of campus. I'm told that number, that you do something with some archaic piece of equipment and you press some buttons on it or something and you can like speak to people with it. I don't quite understand this. It's not a Skype handle, so I don't quite know what it is. But apparently if you call that, what do they call it, tele something, if you do that, then someone will answer it. And chances are, one of the people who you'd be likely to have answer would be the woman standing over here is Jamie Wyatt. Jamie is the assistant director of the general education program and much more likely to answer the phone than I am. A few other people who work in our office that you might be able to talk to that way. And we all check the email box, and if you had a general question, you can route it to the email box and we will sort of send it to the appropriate person on campus, whoever that happens to be. The general slogan we have for this entire thing is join a circle, build a foundation. We think if you're joining a learning community, you're sort of becoming a part of a circle of learners. And we think this is the sort of circle of learners that can help to be a foundation for your first semester at university, for your first year, for your entire undergraduate experience, and hopefully for the rest of your lives after that. So,
any questions that you have?